Nefesh HaChaim, we're in Shar Aleph and we're Pek Ches, chapter 8 of the first section. What we spoke about last week was we introduced the idea of the Kruvim, the cherubs on top of there were two sets of cherubs. There were the cherubs of Moshe Rabbeinu that he built on top of the lid of the Aron HaKodesh, and then there were the cherubs of Shlomo HaMelech. And we have contradictory teachings, because when it comes to the cherubs of Moshe, we have a verse that said that they were facing each other. And when it comes to the cherubs of Shlomo, it says they were facing the house. So you could say, well, Shlomo did it differently. And in fact, we'll see that there's a side to say that he did it differently. Moshe did it one way and Shlomo did it another way. But the Rashbam says there in Baba Basra that doesn't follow logically. And as we understand that Shlomo would want to do it in the best possible way, and Shlomo, with all his greatness, would not want to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. He would want to do it as Moshe Rabbeinu did it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rebbe of Israel. This is how he does it. Shlomo would have wanted to do it the other way. In which case, where the Rashbam learns the verses, that both verses are true, and we have to somehow reconcile the verses. Now, the verse that says they faced each other, mm-hmm. and the verse that says they faced outwards towards the house, they have to be reconciled. That's what the Rashbam says, and that's how he learns the Gemara over there. Okay, we'll see that maybe Rav Chaim wants to learn it slightly different. We'll see that later. But that's Poshup Shal of the Rashbam. How did Moshe set up his Kruvim, and how would Shlomo have set it up the same way? And therefore, how do we reconcile the two verses? So the Gemara over there has a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. They were two Amoroim that argued with each other. Elazar actually originally was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, but later on he was like a contemporary. So they have a dispute. And one says that the main verse is when it says they were facing each other. And the verse that says they were facing the house was talking about when Hashem wasn't pleased with Israel. So then they faced away. It was a miracle that they faced each other when there was a love between Am Yisrael and Hashem. And when Hashem was upset with the Jewish people, then they faced away from each other. Or even they even turned their backs to each other. That's the one way of resolving the verses. The other way of resolving the verses is to say, no, they were originally set up facing the house. So then what do you do with the verse that says they were facing each other? Can't be. And you can't say they were set up facing the house because that's Hashem being angry. You wouldn't set it up that Hashem's angry with us. So therefore, what does it mean they were facing each other? So there, the resolution is, no, it was at angles. They're partially facing each other, partially facing the house. So that's the second opinion. Okay, so we've got two opinions how originally the Kruvim was set up. Either facing each other was the Lechatchila, was at the outset, or partially facing each other, partially facing out towards the courtyard, towards the house, the temple, and the courtyard in front of the temple. Now, Rav Chaim at this point wants to align this Machlekes with another Machlekes. Right? There are two verses in the Torah that seemingly contradict each other. The one verse says, right, we're in this text on page Chof Ches. The one verse says, Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Zeh Mipicho. That's a verse in Yeshua says, the words of Torah must never be out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. Which means you've got to always be speaking in Torah. You've got to be thinking in Torah and speaking in Torah 24/7, except obviously when you collapse to fall asleep. There's a story of the Chazon Ish. He used to learn until he collapsed, literally collapsed. So someone asked him, he used to fall on the table, sleep on the table. So someone asked him, why didn't you at least put a pillow? So he said, if he had the strength to put a pillow, he would have learned a little bit more. That's sort of an embodiment of Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zeh Mipicho. That's the pasuk says. You have to be learning 24/7. You have to be learning as much as you can. But there's another pasuk that says, right, Vasafta deganech, you've got to gather the grain. Right? In other words, you've got fields and you've got to grow grain. Grain is food. Everyone needs food. And you've got to plant it. You've got to harvest it, etc. And you've got to gather the grain. So therefore, how can it be both? So we have on this a machlekes between two tanoim. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they both resolve these two psukim in different ways. So Rabbi Shmuel says, when it says, the Torah must always be in your mouth, that is, you have to always be learning, but together with Eretz, Derech Eretz, Torah in Derech Eretz. In other words, you've got to be learning, but you've also got to be busy with your business as well. You've got to take care of your affairs, your home affairs, and you've got to make sure that the house is running as it should run. That's one approach. And the second approach is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who says, no, you've got to be learning Torah 24/7. What about Panosa? The goyim will worry about Panosa. They'll bring you all the Panosa you need. What about the verses, you shall gather in your grain, Asaf de Ganecha? Let's talk about when Israel's not doing the will of Hashem. When we're not doing the will of Hashem, then we have to take care of our own Panosa. The goyim won't do it for us. And therefore, that's what the Pasuk says, Asaf de Ganecha, then you'll gather your grain when you're not doing the will of Hashem. So Rav Chaim makes a number of observations here. The first observation he makes, which is a very surprising, it's a very obvious observation, which is a surprising point here, is that Asaf de Ganecha is in the parsha of Hayoyim Shemoy Tishma. It says, if you listen to the word of Hashem, to keep the words of Hashem, then Hashem will give you, after you're loyal to Hashem, you love Hashem, you serve Hashem with fear and with love, then Hashem will give you rain in its time. Right, he'll give you wine, and he'll give you grain, and he'll give you oil. Vasavda de Ganecha. So in that pasuk, it's the pasuk of Brocha. If you listen to Hashem, Hashem will bless you. So how can we say that that pasuk, Vasavda Ganecha, is a curse? How can it be a curse in the middle of the blessing? There'll be a blessing. You listen to Hashem, you'll obey Hashem. Hashem will give you everything you want. And you'll gather in your grain. How can that be a curse when it's in the parsha that deals with Brocha? Okay, that's our first point that Reb Chaim brings up. And now he wants to explain the whole thing. So we're going to explain Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to explain Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and we're going to hopefully explain the two shittas, and we're going to somehow align this to the machlokes with the kruvim as well. That's our objective here in the following lines. So halfway down the page he says, Yavala inyan ki vadai she'en das Rabbi Shmuel, she'er reshus nesuna la'odom lifrosh chas v'sholem av zman muat me'esa katura. Certainly, it's not the view of Rabbi Shmuel that a person has permission to separate Chas v'Shalom even for a small time from being busy with Torah. Right? Rabbi Shmuel does not say you can just take off time from learning Torah. Right? In fact, he uses the language here, Chas v'Shalom. Right? Even the smallest amount of time, you shouldn't take off from learning Torah. V'lasik v'panosa, in order to do your panosa. That you should totally nullify yourself from being busy with Torah. That certainly is not the intention, that you learn Torah, then you stop learning, and then you're busy with Panosa. That's certainly not what he held. So says Rav Chaim. Amnam Ramzu Rav Yishmael Beloshna Kodesh. However, he's hinting to what he wants in his following words. He says, Isnai Hanheg Behem Minag Derech Eretz. Conduct yourself with the words of Torah in a way of Derech Eretz. Conduct yourself with words of Torah in a way of Derech Eretz. Ritzah Leima, which is to say, Imahim, with them. Ima Divrei Torah. Now, take your Divrei Torah, be busy with Divrei Torah, and take your Divrei Torah on a trip with you when you go and take care of your business matters. Hainashigamba Oisa Eis Vishamu Etis, which is to say that time, that same time that you're busy with taking care of your financial needs, whatever your home needs, which is necessary, whatever is necessary, just to support yourself, support your family, in your thoughts, in your mind, you have to be thinking words of Torah. So in other words, you're supposed to be busy learning Torah all the time. And when you do need to take care of your business, so then at least be thinking Torah at the time that you're taking care of your business. Have Torah in your mind, or have a Torah idea that you can meditate on while you're doing your business. Have a question that you're going to be thinking about, to the degree that you can have Torah with you as you do your business, so you will do it. So let's say you're driving in the car and you're listening to a tape or a Torah shir while you're driving to your meeting, mm-hmm. Whatever. That type of thing is where, where possible, you have to fill in the time with Torah. So this, as we said, is hinted to in the words of Rabbi Shmuel when he says, "Hanheg bahem, with them, derech eretz, with the divrei Torah combined, derech eretz, and try to be maximizing in your Torah study, at the same time that you're also taking care of your personal needs or your family's needs." But certainly he didn't mean that you should walk away from Torah, even for a short while. V'chein Rova. Rova, the Gemara brings there, Gemara in Brochas, Amar LaTalmid, that he said to his students, V'yoymei Nisan Tishrei loy tischazu kamai. He says, in the days of Nisan and Tishrei, don't appear before me. Now, why was Nisan and Tishrei important? Because Nisan was the beginning of the spring, which was the harvest, the sowing season. So there's a lot of work in the fields. That's the beginning of spring. You've got to do all the sowing. You've got to get your fields ready. You've got to plant your fields. And there's no time to come to the base of Midrash. So he says, the whole days of Nisan, I don't want to see you. And Tishrei also, Tishrei is autumn, is that is the time of harvesting. That's the harvesting season. Also, there's a lot of work. So therefore, Rava was saying, in the days of Nisan and Tishrei, I don't want to see you. So Reb Chaim says, the emphasis here is, I don't want to see you. What does he mean by that? Shelo lavo lebeis midrash. I don't want to see you, meaning you shouldn't be coming to the base of midrash, because you should be in your fields, taking care of your panosa. Aval vada talmidei Rava lo yabetelim chas v'sholem. But certainly students of Rava, those students who merited to be in Rava's class, right, they were the students of the great Rava, they wouldn't be nullifying themselves from learning Torah. They wouldn't have been just wasting time. Legamrei me'esag ha'Torah. Right, even in these days. So therefore, I don't want to see you, but not that you should stop learning. Just you shouldn't be coming to the base of measures. I want to see you in the base of measures, but I'm not telling you to stop learning. So you'll be in the fields, and you'll be taking your panosa, but you'll still be using your spare time or using your free time to learn Torah, even though you're busy with your panosa. So again, this is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, when the Torah says, be busy with Torah, that's the ideal, that's the maximum. But obviously, if you need to stop to take care of your business, so that is permitted. That's Rabbi Shmuel's Shita. V'amusham, last paragraph there, Habe Asuka Rabbi Shmuel, many students followed the route of Rabbi Shmuel, V'alsa B'yodim, and they succeeded. They did Rabbi Shmuel's way, in other words, they also came to learn, and they also took care of their home affairs, their business, and they succeeded, it worked. This combination worked. V'habe Asuka Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, many did like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He's the one who said, no, just be busy with learning Torah and don't look at your panos at all. Let it be taken care of in a miraculous way. Hashem will take care of your needs. You just learn Torah, Hashem will supply you whatever you need. So many did it Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's way. They were attracted to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's approach. V'lo also beyodim, they did not succeed. But says Rav Chaim, Hainu Rabim Dafka, the many who did like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did not succeed. Ki vadesh lechlal hamoin kimat bilti efsha sheyasmidu kol yomeim rak be'esek ha'Torah. Because certainly, to the masses, to whole groups of people, it's impossible that they should be able to be consistent and constantly learning all their life only in Torah. That they should only be engaged in Torah. It's not a program for the group. It's not a program for masses of people. That they shouldn't be turning even for a moment to do their panosa. It's not a schedule that you can give to groups of people. And exactly on this fits the Pirkei Avos teaching. Any Torah which doesn't also have work attached to it, when a person's also doing his work, at the same time he's learning, he's also taking care of his business. Right. So it says in Pirkei Avos that it leads to shimum, it leads to boredom, it leads to desolation, and it leads to sin. Not a person who just wants to learn and he's not really holding there, so eventually he comes to sin.
But Kol Torah, it's much more, not even for a yachid. Kol Torah shayinim.
Right. So Rav Chaim goes on to say, however, aval yachid latzmoy. The individual for himself. Now, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did set this up as an alternative. So the individual for himself, when it's an individual who takes on himself to be busy all his life just with Torah, doesn't mean just Torah, it means Torah and his avodas Hashem, means his prayers and his mitzvahs and all the service that he does to Hashem, or chesed that he does. If he's an individual who can do it, if there's a person who he does have the strength of character and he does have the focus and he does have the talent to do it, so certainly it's an obligation upon him Shaloi lifush afzman muat miatzeire vavoida. Certainly, there's an obligation not to separate himself even for the smallest amount of time from Torah and the service of Hashem. Lasik panosah chas v'sholem. If he's a person who's able to devote himself fully and his focused way, he will receive the Siyata Deshmaya, and it's forbidden for him to do the other path, Rabbi Shmuel's path. The Kedas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So that's the resolution that Rav Chaim comes with here. That really Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai are not really arguing, or seemingly they're not arguing at a practical level. It could be in terms of how you learn the Psukim or what the Torah ideal is. There is some sort of a dispute, but practically, in practical translation of the dispute, it works out that there is an argument. There's no argument. Now, this for the masses. Rabbi Shmuel's approach is the correct approach, where you should be learning as much as possible and also taking off time to do your business, but with the minimum interference possible. And for the individuals, they should be doing like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, the last point, he clears up before we move on to our comparison to the cherubs, is that what we said before, Asaf de Ganecho, comes out that, according to one interpretation, comes out that that's a curse. Having to gather your grain is a curse. So on that he says, in a pasuk asaf de ganecho hu mutsa michlal parshas vayo. It's actually, if you read it carefully, you'll see it doesn't really flow with the entire parsha. It doesn't flow with the entire parsha. Why? Shekula nemra beloshen rabim. That whole parsha of hayayim shamoy tishmu is all in the plural. It's speaking to everyone. So it's all in the plural. The posuk of and you shall gather your grain, that's in the singular. So we see suddenly that it's not for everyone. The parsha itself takes it out from the general flow, and it speaks about the individual who needs asaf de ganecho, right? And the chen kri lei ein oiser tzein shel mokum. And therefore we can say he falls into the category of he does not doing the will of Hashem in a full way, and therefore he has to gather his grain. Had he been in the flow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given him his bracha even without asaf de ganecho. It's not for everyone, asaf de ganecho. It's only for those who need that isuk. They need that business, because they're not totally focused, they're not totally able to just follow the flow of the Torah living. And therefore they're the ones who are called Ein Oiser Ritzono Shel Mokum Kishemafne Atzmo Af Ma'at L'Esek Panosa. When he turns himself a little bit to his panosa, you see, turning here means not just that he's busy with his panosa, but his head is turned. He starts focusing on his panosa. He thinks about his panosa. It becomes his interest. It becomes his, it becomes like a hobby. It's like his hobby, his interest. It's his interest. You know, not just he's doing because he needs to do it, but it's actually something that attracts him, that he's interested in. So that could be, that's called mafne. And therefore, if a person does turn to panosa, then it becomes more of a requirement to be busy with panosa. Okay, so that's basically what we've got here. Now, let's go on to the Kruvim. V'yadua. It's at the bottom of the page. We're skipping the small text. V'yadua sh'akruvim ha'echad romaz alav yisborch shmo. Now, concerning the cherubs. So we know that the one hints to Hashem. Right? There were two cherubs facing each other. And in fact, according to the sources, they were male and female. Because the male represents Hashem. And the female represents Am Yisrael, who receives from Hashem. So therefore, one of the cherubs represents Hashem. Vasheini Am Yisrael, Skuloso, and the others the Jewish people. Two cherubs, Hashem and the people of Israel, the Chosen and the Kala. Ukafir Shir his Kavusam Dveikusam, according to the measure of their closeness to each other and their cleaving to each other, which means the degree that Israel cleaves to Hashem, the way they cling to Hashem, the way they're close to and devoted to Hashem. His Kavusam Dveikusam Shil Yisrael, Elov Yisbor Shemoi. Or if they're turning away from Hashem, all of that could be seen in the way the cherub stood. And this was a miracle, even though they were inanimate objects, they were just golden statues, but they actually moved. And the way they moved, the way they faced each other, or didn't face each other, that was all a sign of where the Jewish people were holding in terms of their relationship with Hashem. In Pneim Yoshe Yechazue, Eilav Yechazbor Shmoi, if their faces are looking straight at Hashem, right, if the Jewish people were looking straight to Hashem, in other words, they were totally devoted, totally dedicated to Hashem, Gamakruvim Amdu Oz, Neim Ishalochim. The Jewish people were standing facing Hashem, so the cherubs faced each other. But if the Jewish people were turning away slightly from Hashem, you know, they also make time for Hashem, they also make time for other interests, other things that concern them, and that's sort of moving away from Hashem, focusing off Hashem. As Kenayanika Inyan taketh the Kruvim. So you would see it in the Kruvim, they would also be turning slightly away. Or im chas v'sholem hifnu oirev, or if they turn their backs completely on Hashem. Gam akruvim kerege hifnu hafchu pneim. So to the cherubs, in a moment, mamish almost synchronized. They turned their faces, each one from the other, chas v'sholem. Okay, in yishamu chazal b'yuma, like our sages said in the Gemara Yuma, show you megalelim haperiches lo'ele regolim. They would open up the pariches, what we just mentioned now, they would open up the pariches to those who came up for the festivals, that's the three festivals, three times a year. Umarim lehem akruvim, and they showed them the kruvim shayum urim zebeze, they were hugging each other. Umarim lehem ru'uchi boschem difnei amokam, see how cherished you are before the Creator. It could be specifically during the Yom Tovim. Yom Tov is always a time of arousement, right? It's a time of spiritual arousement. We gain a lot during Yom Tov. You know, Yom Tov is like an intense period, you know, like just like Shabbos. Often after Shabbos, you just feel finished. And it's because it's a hard day. There's a lot of spiritual activity, a lot of spiritual growth. And Shabbos, you really do get a lot more than you would on a regular weekday. But it's exhausting. Yom Tov also, after Yom Tov, sometimes you also feel finished. Right? So therefore, they came Yom Tov and they were shown on Yom Tov, look how cherished you are, my Hashem, on Yom Tov. That would also be an inspiration. Look how well you're doing or how well you could be doing. That could also help to inspire them that when they went home, they tried to maintain that sort of standard. Ubezoya Truma, he quotes here Zoya Truma, Emesai Verachami, down to the square brackets, Matai Hi Verachamim, when is it that Hashem's relationship with us is one of rachamim, when he looks to us with rachamim, with compassion, with love. Oh, right? Omelei b'shasha kruvim machzirin chule. When is it the time of compassion? When the kruvim are facing each other, etc. Omestaklim ponim b'ponim. They're looking face to face. Kev shehei ma kruvim mestaklim ponim b'ponim. At the time when the cherubs are looking to each other face to face, as kolag vonim mestaknim. All the different aspects of our lives are all remedied. Everything starts falling into place. The world starts operating like it should work. It means, you know, the buses come on time and the electricity works and the plumbing doesn't break down and the car doesn't break down. Yeah. There's just a brocha in the world that things work out. So when the cherubs are looking at each other, that's a sign that there's rachamim in the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has compassion on us and he's helping us along and he wants us to do well. So they, all the aspects of life suddenly fall into place. Everything's working as it should. Right? Just as Israel is arranging their prayers before Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Hashem arranges the world for them. Right? We come, we've got our orders of prayer, right? Shachar service. There's a whole order. There's a whole, we go through an order. A person has a learning seder, he learns with this person, he goes to this class. Person, his life is ordered, and it's ordered around the right priorities. Hashem orders the world for us that everything works in a stable way. That's one Zohar. And another Zohar says like this, Parshas Achrei, Reish Ein Beis, Shevis Achim Gam Yachtov. So again, the square brackets, Shevis Achim, right, it speaks about brothers sitting together, Ki B'shash Hayu Mestaklim Ze B'ze. The Zohar is again speaking about the cherubs, when the cherubs were looking to each other, ponim b'ponim, face to face. So about that situation, the verse says, Matoy B'manoim Shevis Achim Gam Yachtov. Right? You know, that pasuk of brothers sitting together is talking about when the cherubs are looking to each other. When you've got that loving relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Shazocher machzir ponov min hanekeva. But when the male turns his face away from the female, the male, we said, is Hashem, turns his face away from the female, that's us, Am Yisrael. Oy lo oylam, woe to the world. Right? So, you know, where there's an endearment, that's where the world flourishes. Ubezoy chodesh seif pashas truma, b'chol zimle Yisrael havu zakoin, because mancha Yisrael zakoim, whenever Israel merited, hakruvim hayu dvukim bedveikus ponim uponim, the cherubs were clinging together face to face. Vekevish hayu choitin, when they were sinning, when the Jewish people were sinning, hayu machzirim pneim zemize, they were turning their faces away from each other. Valkein hakruvim beoises mancha Yisrael zakoim. And he's just quoting bits, because there's a chulei, the chulei, he's skipping quotes. And the cherubs in that time when Israel had merit, hayu ponim v'ponim, face to face. Al soydis elu hayu yoidim im Yisrael hem zakoim alo. According to this secret, they knew if Israel had merit or not. This was the meter. They could see such a thing. Because of ivdes Hashem v'simcha, and the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Tehillim says, serve Hashem with simcha. What does it mean, serve Hashem with simcha? What does it mean with simcha? Simchosim shel shnei kruvim. Serve Hashem with the joy of the two kruvim. If the two kruvim are looking to each other, that's a situation of joy. Serve Hashem in that situation. Look to always maintain that situation where the relationship is close. You're looking to Hashem, and Hashem is looking to you. Okay, so show your lehim, once you've got this joy, once you've got this this love between them, choizel yois b'simcha, so therefore the world itself is in simcha, va'olam choizel yois b'rachamim, and this compassion, tremendous compassion, comes down onto the world. Perek Tes. V'nei dor amid bo shezoch yois mi'oich le'shulchan gavoah. The generation of the desert. And as those Jews who left Egypt, they merited to be eating at Hashem's table. Now, where was their panosa? They ate at Hashem's table. They were guests at Hashem's table. Right? You got the local millionaire. Comes 1 o'clock. Doors swing open. People troop in, sit down, start ordering food. They sit and eat, finish lunch, bench, and leave. So that was the type of relationship, right? Hashem was supplying food for the entire Jewish people the entire 40 years. So it was a situation. They weren't working at all. There was no work being done. So it was a situation of oichle shulchan gavoah. They were eating at Hashem's table, so to speak. Lechem min hashamayim. The bread came from the heavens. Dva yoyim b'yoyimu on a daily basis. V'sim losam le'bolso. Their garments did not wear out. Their garments stayed fresh. There were no patches. There was no, right? Actually, the garments actually grew with them. The children grew up. Their garments grew with them. Their garments stayed fresh. They never wore out. They didn't need any type of work at all. There was no need for any type of work at all. The entire time could just be devoted to Torah study. Now, for sure, they would not be called doing the will of Hashem unless they were also looking upwards to Hashem completely directly. Mm-hmm. As for this relationship to have existed, and they were living in a miraculous relationship. So therefore, it must have been that was a generation that were looking to Hashem directly. They looked to Hashem, and that relationship that they maintained was blessed, that they were sustained. They gave their hearts over simply to Torah and service of Hashem. The fear of Hashem. Day and night. They had nothing else to do but learn Torah. That's what they were involved in. Literally. Literally, that's all they were involved in for that time. Without turning away at all. Without turning away even for a smallest amount for panosa. It just wasn't panosa, it wasn't an issue. And like the Chazal teaches, Mechilta, Torah was given only to those who eat man. And that's expression that's used also for the generation. In other words, to qualify for Torah, you have to be me'oich le'aman. You have to be living at a certain miraculous type of level where you feel yourself to be one who eats man. The way it works as follows. I saw Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains, there's a Chazal that says that Yeshua received man corresponding to the whole of Klal Yisrael. But what's it talking about? When Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain to receive the Torah, 40 days, 40 nights, so Yeshua waited at the foot of the mountain. Where was everyone else? Everyone else was back at the camp. Why were they back at the camp? Back at the camp, that's where the food is. That's where the panos is. That's where they had to be back in the camp. Yeshua went off to be at the foot of the mount where there was no man. This is what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains. But what did Hashem do? Hashem supplied him with his own special delivery of man at the foot of the mountain. So that's the pshat in the Gemara that says that Yeshua received man corresponding to the whole of Klal Yisrael. Meaning not that he received the same quantity they received. Obviously he couldn't eat that much man for the whole of Klal Yisrael. What it means that he received too corresponding to Klal Yisrael. In other words, just like the whole of Klal Yisrael had the merit that they should receive man, and all their merits all joined together, that together they all merited that Hashem should do this miracle. So he had the merit by himself that man should fall specifically for him where he happened to be. But at the time that he went to wait at the foot of the mountain, why was he waiting at the foot of the mountain? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, because he wanted the minute Moshe Rabbeinu should come down, he should be teaching him, he should be accompanying his Rebbe, he shouldn't leave his Rebbe even for a second. So he was really willing to be there 40 days, 40 nights. So, but he didn't go with an expectation that Hashem's going to do a miracle for him. He knew that the man was in the machane, it was in the camp, it wasn't out in the wilderness. He didn't expect it. But he had a certain confidence, he'll do it. So it could be, that's, and Hashem actually lived up to his expectation. Hashem supplied him with man, and that's what the Gemara says, that he received man corresponding of all of Israel. That's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's word here. So it could be the understanding here is that the Torah is given to those who eat man, those who are in the mode to eat man. You know, those who say, well look, I'm going to sit and learn. In the meantime, there's still some money in the house. I still have some money in my pocket. There's still food in the fridge. I'm going to sit and learn. What will be, we'll see. But in the meantime, everything's fine. Let me sit and learn. And that approach, that expectation, that type of attitude, so that's what brings down the man. That's where the man starts. When you have a people who have given themselves over to the service of Hashem and to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, right, into the desert. Following Moshe Rabbeinu into the desert with the babies, with the grannies, with the grandpas, with the flocks, with the sheep, right, into the desert. What's in the desert? Nothing's in the desert. There's nothing. It's a wilderness. So that type of attitude is what brings the man. And that's what... A person has that attitude, so he's the one who receives Torah. That seems to be the message of that teaching. So therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu set up the cherubs, he set them up face to face, because that was the relationship that was guaranteed, that lifestyle that they had. Now, we know there were stories in the desert and all sorts of problems, but actually, how many stories are there? 5 stories, 10 stories, 15 stories, that's over a 40-year period. I mean, there are always stories, there are always things happening, right? There's always someone who does something that upsets everybody else. But for the 40 years, they were basically, the entire Jewish people were totally devoted to the service of Hashem. That's what they were living. So they were the Dordea, and they were the Oichle Haman. They were the ones who ate man. That was the generation that ate man. So since that was the existing relationship, that's how Moshe set up the cherubs. Pneim ish elochiv mamish, facing each other literally, laharis, to show ki yoshe echzu pneimu izborach, that they're looking straight to the face of Hashem. They're facing Hashem, and Hashem is facing him. Ponim befonim, face to face, im am kedoshe, with his holy nation. Amnam. However, b'yemei shloimu. So here Rav Chaim seems to be learning a little bit different to the Rashbam. So as we said before, the Rashbam said that however Moshe set up the cherubs, Shlomo must have set it up the same way. However, Rav Chaim is saying a different pshat. He's saying in the days of Shlomo, Shayu klal hamoin Yisrael tzrichim, umuchochim lintois ma'at elatzad le'esek fanosa. In the days of Shlomo, when Klal Yisrael, as the masses of Klal Yisrael, not the individuals, but the masses of Klal Yisrael needed, and it was necessary, and they mamish needed to turn some of their time away from their studies to be oisik and panosa. So they turned away from Torah study to do their business. Al kuponim kedei chayei nefesh, at least the minimum amount of business they needed to sustain the families. Shezeh ika mitzvah ritzoni zborch ledas Rabbi Shmuel, which is really according to Rabbi Shmuel the way it should be done. Because that's the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Mayuchai. That really is the way it should be done. Is that there should be teira im derech eretz. There should be some time given to esek olam hazeh. The sovet l'rabbi and tfei arich lemevad hochi. Rabbi Shmuel holds that for the masses, this is the more appropriate way to conduct yourself. K'moshe omru b'avos yofi talmud teira im derech eretz. We have big avos. Beautiful teira when it's combined with also taking care of your responsibilities to your family and your community, etc. And also that doesn't have with it work, that's also the tailor, avon, leads to desolation, leads to sin. So therefore that, so according to that way of saying, I'm going to see the rest of the paragraph, we have to leave it for now, but we'll see the rest of the paragraph. Therefore that's how he set it up. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Shlomo HaMelech set up the Kruvim facing outwards, slightly to each other, and slightly outwards.